This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Certainly is hour number two coming to you live. Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Let's welcome aboard right now Billy Devaney, Atlanta Legends GM, Alliance for American Football. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Former Rams general manager as well, as we're down to Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Hey, Billy, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up?
Hey, how we doing, guys? Hi.
What's up, Billy?
Doing well,
how are you,
Billy? Doing well. And, you know, a lot of interesting storylines here. I'm curious from your perspective with Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma Sooners Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, declaring for the NFL draft, measures in at about 5'9". You know, you have not seen success with 5'9 quarterbacks in the National Football League. You know, Doug Flutie had some, a little bit more of a star in the Canadian Football League. What's your take when you look at Kyler Murray and whether or not his game can translate as a pro?
Yeah, you know what? He's the kind of guy that drives scouts crazy because he defies everything that their board dictates as far as size and what they're looking for in a kind of a prototype quarterback. Here's what when I look at this kid, I just think you never underestimate the heart of a competitor. And this kid is an unbelievable competitor. He's got, you know, if he's 6 foot one, even 6 foot two, he'd be by far the first player in the draft because the guy's got great arm talent. I mean, he can throw the heck out of the football. Now, I think the comparisons are going to be because you want to like the kid. He's wired right to play quarterback. Everybody's going to say, well, how much smaller is he than Russell Wilson? And I think that's a great comparison in a lot of ways. So he's a unique guy. I think obviously you're going to tailor your offense around him if a team drafts him in the NFL. And I just see the stuff that I see out of this kid, he just defies the odds, and I would never bet against him being successful in the NFL.
Would you invest, Billy, to the point where you would invest conceivably a top 10 pick in him?
If everything, now you guys know, you've been doing this for a while, how early we are in this process. There's a long, long way to go, especially with quarterbacks. I mean, I don't want to say the easy part is the on-field evaluation. Teams have to get to know this kid. And can he be the face of your franchise? Can he be on the cover of your media guy? Is he a guy that players rally around? And does he have that it factor? If he checks all those boxes, the intangibles to play the position, then absolutely, I think he's the kind of guy. He's that electric. And especially the way the game is going today, I think that his timing is great. The way NFL offenses are evolving towards more of a pro college style offense. So to answer your question, yeah, I think he can be worthy of that.
Well, let's stick to the topic of quarterbacks and two that have been checking the boxes now, one for a long time, one for this year, and that's Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes. So who's got more pressure on him this Sunday in your opinion, Brady or Mahomes?
Man, if they got pressure, I think these two guys, I mean, they couldn't be more opposite where they are in their career, style of offense. I mean, the style of their play, you know, one's mobile, tremendous athlete outside the pocket. Sure. The other is old-fashioned, just prototype, stand back there and just tear you apart. I don't know. I would think Patrick only because they haven't done it. And I know they want to win for Andy Reid. I think Andy's got more pressure on him than anybody.
Yeah.
I'd say Patrick, just to try to get them over the hump. But I think at this point, Brady's playing with house money, guys. I mean, he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback ever. So I think at this point, everything's a bonus for him.
when you look at though, the quarterback play, both are brilliant. Mahomes is going to be the MVP of the league. They're both different stylistically, personality wise, they're different. But when you look at this matchup in Kansas City, and it has an opportunity, if you look at the advanced weather forecast, this opportunity to be really cold in Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday, where temperatures are going to be 10 degrees. It could actually be below zero potentially on Sunday for that game in the AFC Championship game. What are you looking for, Billy, when you look at this matchup, Chiefs and Patriots, New England and what they represent, and Kansas City and what they've done here for Andy Reid? And what do you look at as going to be a turning point, what a deciding factor of this matchup?
Yeah, I think it, when you get to this point in the season, I mean, obviously everybody's focus is usually on the quarterbacks and the offense, the head coaches to a certain degree. But I think you made a great point. I think the elements are going to be a big factor in this game, and I think the defense is going to come down to who plays better defense. And if you just step back and if you're picking a team, New England or Kansas City, to play great defense on Sunday, I think most people would say New England has a better chance to be strong and show up on defense. So that's where I see the difference right now. New England is much, much stronger on defense than Kansas City. I'm still not sold on Kansas City's defense hanging in there for the duration.
Yeah, it'd be tough to argue with that, Billy. So if we shift gears to the NFC, so what do you think, man? Are we going to see a shootout in New Orleans this Sunday with the Rams as they go to that tough dome to play those Saints?
Man, that is, and that place was crazy the other day.
Yeah.
And they'll ramp it up again. There's no question. And that crowd is a factor, guys. It really is. When you're on offense, the offensive line for the visiting team is at a real, real disadvantage in that environment. And, again, I always step back and the first thing I look at is the quarterbacks.
Right.
How do you ever go against pick against Breeze? Goff is capable, and that offense is capable with the running attack, as balanced as they are, of putting up great, great numbers. But again, the Goff is, you know, he's been a little bit shaky the last month, in December. I think it has a chance to be a great, great battle. But here's what I say. I think the Saints are, they don't get enough credit, and Peyton doesn't get enough credit for being kind of a gritty team. They can run the hell out of the ball now. I know this. They're one of the toughest, hardest working teams during the week. Their practices are extremely, extremely physical. They pride themselves on being able to run the ball and pound the ball. And obviously, the Rams are loaded at running back also. So I know everybody's kind of expecting this wild ass shootout and throwing the ball all over the place. I see two great, great running teams that are going to put on a show on Sunday.
You know, Billy, it's interesting because I was kind of thinking the same thing when I looked at the matchup, because it's almost like now with the Rankins injury for New Orleans, and that's a huge loss with the torn Achilles.
Yeah.
He was a stud interior lineman coming out of Louisville for the last 3 years. And you look at trying to protect the back end of that secondary, aside from Tlaib, the rest of the guys in that secondary for the Rams have struggled. And without Cooper Kupp, that offense for the Rams has not looked the same. It almost seems to be two teams that really want to try and play keep away with the football, emphasize the ground game. And we saw that with the Rams against the Cowboys, where clearly their offensive line dictated and won the battle up front. And that was the biggest determining factor of that game.
No doubt. It's great, great, great point. And just go back to what we were talking about a minute ago with that crowd. There's no doubt being a factor. It's a heck of a lot easier for those offensive linemen to run block in that environment than it is to get off the ball in the against a really good pass rushing team. So I think you're spot on, and I think that's exactly what the Rams are thinking. We want to go back. We want to go out, establish the run, control the line of scrimmage, and pound New Orleans, and in the process, keeping one of the great Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Drew Brees, on the sideline as much as possible.
Hey, so Billy, talk about an NFC team that's out, and that's the Eagles. So I want to get your opinion, man, on the quarterback spot. What should they do?
Man, that's a tough one. We were just talking about that last night here at the hotel. That is, you know what? I'm probably, I guess, in the minority. I find a way to try to keep Foles, whatever you have to do to keep him. When Carson Wentz was coming out, I absolutely loved him. Thought he was the best player in the draft. Had all the physical skills. There was one thing that always kind of bothered me about him was his durability. There was a reason this guy was at North Dakota State. He was hurt his senior year in high school. He was not heavily recruited. He was hardly recruited at all. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't play. His last year at North Dakota State, he was hurt twice. I mean, it was like this first or second, might have been the first game of the season. He had a high ankle sprain. He missed time. Then he was hurt later in the season. You know, there's been questions now since he's been at Philadelphia. Now, they're legitimate injuries. This guy's as tough as anybody. But I know in Howie Roseman, the general manager at Philadelphia, he's got to be holding his breath. He said, if we go Foles, and I mean, we're going full bore with Wentz, I hope he makes it through the season. That's the only knock on Wentz at this point in his career. And the window is now for Philadelphia. I mean, if they've got to take a shot next year. It's not that young a team. They have to go for it, and I think their best chance to go for it is try to keep Foles. You have Carson Wentz on his rookie contract, so it's not like you're trying to keep two really high-priced quarterbacks on your roster. You can afford to pay Foles way more than what a normal number two would be, and you'd still be able to live with it. So I don't know. They're in a tough spot. They're in a really tough spot. The guy's in a great spot is Foles.
Absolutely, yeah,
absolutely. He's in an awesome spot. So and shoot, he's an easy guy to root for. It's nice to see somebody have that kind of success and handle things like it. I mean, he's handled things like a champ.
Humble guy too. Very humble.
Really great, great guy.
We're talking to former Rams GM Billy Devaney, currently with the Alliance for American Football, the Atlanta Legends GM. We'll get to the AAF here. Momentarily, Billy, what did pick your brain? Because you know, it's interesting when you look at guys that fall through the cracks, right? And we're discussing momentarily the Rams ground game. Because my wife asked me this question. We were watching it and watching C.J. Anderson running all up and down the field. And I explained, well, this is the fourth team he's been on this year. He started the year with Denver, was with Carolina, got cut by them, with Oakland, got cut by them, and then got picked up by the Los Angeles Rams after the Gurley knee injury. Explain, when you watch a guy like Anderson, who clearly can run it, and is clearly, we saw that in Denver, that he can run it, how does a guy like that fall through the cracks here, Billy? Because we see a lot of teams in the National Football League could use a guy like C.J. Anderson, and there he was at the end of the season, available for everyone to be had.
Exactly. It is amazing. So, and you see it, I don't want to say often, but time and time again, those kind of stories. I think it's a classic case, being in the right place at the right time. He is a good runner. Is he an elite runner? No. He's a solid NFL player. And I tell these kids, I'm down here with the Alliance League, and part of our sell to them is there's a lot of guys walking the street that have ability, but for whatever reason, the scheme may not be great, where the team is. They may be a throwing team committed to throwing the ball all over the field, and you keep two top-tier running backs. Oftentimes, things happen out of your control, and it's just not the right fit. The other thing is, who knows? Maybe all of a sudden the light has come on, and I'm not talking about CJ. I'm talking about people in general. All of a sudden, like, wow, I better get my act together. This career is not going the way I thought. Maybe I need to work a little harder at my craft. Maybe I need to pay a little bit more attention and apply myself a little bit more because I'm having a hard time finding a landing spot. There's a lot of factors why players don't stick in one place, move on, and finally settle into a scheme or team where they're comfortable and the light comes on. I think that's a great example with C.J. Anderson.
Hey, so Billy, speaking of, you were just talking about you're down in Atlanta there. So how's everything going with the AAF and the Atlanta Legends? I mean, I know it's just so brand new and everything. So talk about what's going on with you guys, and I'm sure you're excited about the team.
Oh, man, it is. We're having a blast, and you're right. It's brand new. Every day it's a new day. And as you can imagine, with a startup, we're not just starting up a new franchise. It's a whole new league. So every day there's a new challenge and something else pops up, but it is awesome. I go way back. I was part of the Washington Redskins when we put that strike team together the year we won the Super Bowl. It's not so unlike that.
87.
You've got kids here. Yeah, exactly right. You've got guys here that basically know, man, I've got one more chance to try to get my foot back in the door in the NFL. I can't screw this up. So we're getting their best shot on and off the field. They've been, I mean, we've got 75 guys here. in training camp, and it's been a joy to be around these guys because they, you know, they're trying and they're extremely hungry, and it's just the coach has been tremendous. This guy Charlie Ebersol is the guy that's kind of orchestrated this Alliance League, the co-founder, and to pull this thing off in the amount of time that he did. We're actually down in San Antonio. There's eight teams in the Alliance League, and all eight teams are training in the San Antonio area, all at different fields around San Antonio. And like when he first presented that, I said, holy cripes, I don't know how hard it is to have a training camp with one team, everything involved.
Right,
we're going
to try
to have eight teams. It's amazing.
In one city, in one town, yeah.
In one town. It's amazing how they pulled this off.
That's so cool.
It's been a blast.
You know, Billy, I want to ask you about that Skins 87 team here momentarily, but what do you think for you've been around football and pro football for a long time, the greatest challenge the AAF has initially upon startup?
Oh, man, that's a great question. The greatest challenge, really, to get...
I would think the pressure of time, because you guys had really no time to get rolling, right? I mean...
Dude, we're kicking off in about, I want to say 25 days.
Yeah, 25 days away. But I guess to grab the attention of the NFL, to grab the attention of the football fan, Billy, what do you need to see from this league early?
Oh, I think right out of the gate, guys, it's got to be competitive, and we got to score. It's got to be exciting football. I mean, I think our worst fears, we've got a bunch of 9-7 games on opening weekend. You know, people like offense.
That's where
we're at. I mean, that's just the reality of things. And I think that is the challenge now, especially for the coaches. You can imagine they're tempted to empty the playbook. But in this short of time, they've kind of taken a step back and say, shoot, if we're lucky if we get 5 or 10% of the playbook installed initially and we can build as we go on. So I think that's the greatest challenge right now is to get players up to speed on what we're doing. Defensively takes care of itself. I mean, that's a reacting deal. There's teaching involved, but you go out and play. With the offense, there's way more technical aspects to it where there's a lot more teaching and where you're thinking about things rather than reacting. So that's the greatest challenge, and then just getting all eight teams competitive. And the other thing that we don't want one franchise start out 0-4, 0-5, because whatever market that in, I hope it's not Atlanta, you're dead in the water. There's not going to be any support. So you're hoping to come out and try to win some games, show people in your market that this is really good competitive football, and kids are playing their butt off trying to get back into the NFL.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch, Billy. I grew up a Skins fan, so I got to ask you about that 87 team, because if you go back to that strike season, you know, your organization that you worked for at that stage, they embraced putting a quality team on the field where a lot of teams didn't. I mean, it hurt the Giants that year. You know, Parcells and the Giants didn't. And then when the regular players came back, so talk a little bit about Gibbs and that Skins team 87 and what you guys did as an organization during that strike year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And there's a lot of really good things about Joe Gibbs. The one of the best parts I tell people all the time is when things were in disarray or where we had trouble or there was controversy, that's when Joe Gibbs and when the great ones are at their best. Joe did a great job of keeping our, when I say real players, the real Redskin players together, but also at the same time, we kind of anticipated that happening. And Charlie Casserly was our assistant general manager at the time, and he embraced putting a team together. He started way before the lockout even started, and it was a challenge. And he got all the personnel people and said, "We hope this doesn't happen, but if it does, we got to be up and running and get the best team together possible." And it was fun. We spent a lot of hours putting that team, finding replacement players, and Joe did a marvelous job embracing the strike players, but also at the same time not alienating the regular players. So when they came back, I mean, we were 3-0, and those strike players, ironically, I don't know if you realize, they just got a Super Bowl ring last year.
I did.
That was a long time coming. So Casserly deserves a lot of credit for building that thing, putting that strike team together.
You know, Billy, on Sunday, who do you think wins these championship games?
Oh man, you know, I know people say home field's not that much of an advantage, disadvantage. I think certain places it does become so, and New Orleans is certainly one of those places. And it's hard to ever pick against Breeze. New Orleans, and again, what I like New Orleans and New England just because of what we said earlier about the defense. I think that is offenses are, you know, the two quarterbacks are outstanding, but I just think the defense tips the scales towards the Patriots this weekend.
So Saints and Pats down there in Atlanta, that'd be the worst nightmare for Atlanta fans, I'll tell you that.
Let
Last team
you,
they want to
oh
see is New God. Orleans, and nobody wants to see New England.
Bro, listen, what they're the people in Atlanta are freaking out because if the Saints are there, guess what? They're using the Falcons practice facility the whole week.
Oh!
They're using the locker room.
25 days away from the start of the Alliance for American Football, Billy Devaney, the Atlanta Legends GM. Hey, Billy, we'll get you on again real soon. Best of luck with the launch, all right? It's going to be a fascinating watch, and we appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the time.
You got it. Rams, former Rams general manager as well. Give me your thoughts. Great stuff there on Murray. And give me your thoughts of who he likes in the AFC, NFC title games. And give you a good feel about what you need to see from the Alliance for American Football early on. Good
yeah.
spot there with Devaney.
Yeah, real good, man. He's a great guest for sure.
Yeah. Taz of the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning. We're coming back right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week, it's James Harden. The MVP guard scored 57 points, hitting 17 of 33 from the field. Rockets beat the Grizz 112-94 down in Houston. Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back. When it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running, get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now. Hop online, Geico.com. Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, Taz.
Yeah.
Clemson football was at the White House last night. Just 7 days after whooping Alabama for the national title.
It's been an unbelievably crazy week. Literally a crazy week. But it's great to receive this recognition and see this team honored for its amazing season.
Head coach Dabo Swinney dining, and his players as well, dining on fast food,
yeah,
including Wendy's, Big Mac, some pizza.
Yeah, and
quarter pounders with cheese.
Nothing against any of that grub. Unless I missed some. Why? Why not like better cuisine?
The White House staff is
government
on
shutdown.
Government
Furlo.
Shutdown,
yes.
Jones. Oh,
yes.
That's nice.
Now, could they have got a catering service to do a real meal? I think so.
Maybe line up a bunch of food trucks in front of the White House.
I guess.
They could have done something like that.
Yes,
they could have. They certainly could have.
A lot of those in D.C.
They went a strange look with the picture of Abraham Lincoln in the room,
right,
the
and
portrait,
stacks.
And the stacks of quarter pounders
on China.
Of cheese.
Yeah.
Yes, on fine china, and the candelabras lit.
It was also sitting there for a really long time.
It was cold.
It had to be, right?
Yeah, it was cold. Yeah, the players said it was cold.
You go win a national
now
championship, you walk
some
in,
cheered.
You get a cold quarter pounder with cheese. That's nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Now, and this is why you love Dabo Swinney and why the players do love him as well. Put the strange meal that was put together yesterday at the White House, but put that aside. He referenced Tyler Trent, the Purdue
young man
Boilermaker,
who, yes,
super fan that unfortunately passed away from cancer about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But was a huge story in college football and referenced his story and his, I guess, Facebook post that he said shortly before he passed away, and it was just touching and. He's a guy that in Sweeney, and it was a great message about life, but Sweeney is clearly a guy that understands it and gets it, doesn't take himself all too seriously. And you know, when he was getting honored a couple days ago as, you know, Coach of the Year, he brought up a guy, a gentleman, that was the first African-American Alabama offensive coordinator when he was working down at Alabama as a graduate assistant. And said basically he would not be where he is without him. And it's just, he is so refreshing to listen to, Taz, and Dabo. It's, for corporate events, for running that Clemson program, he is an amazing, not just football coach, he's just an amazing leader.
He is a great leader.
He really is.
He is a great leader. And he is. He's a motivator. You could see why he has the success he has as a Division I football coach of the Clemson Tigers and how successful he's been. Just those kids connect to him. This guy is a tremendous recruiter for good reason because he doesn't just sing it. He brings it, and he means what he's singing. You know what I mean? So he's very impressive. Just hearing him talk, he inspires you. So I'm sure that that was, refreshing in the White House. So that was nice.
Guys, at least for now, Kyler Murray's going with the NFL. The Heisman Trophy winning QB declared for the draft yesterday, but could still end up playing baseball for the Oakland A's. Former Jaguars offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett gets the same position in Green Bay. The Broncos hiring Mike Munchak as O-line coach, if they're not hiring him as head coach. And Bears boss Matt Nagy's unhappy that Cody Parkey went on the Today Show last week after missing that game-winning kick against the Eagles. Nagy said the Bears do, quote, we things, and that was a me thing.
Which I could understand. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of odd. I thought even more so why the Today Show needed to have Cody Parkey on.
Well, they're doing this whole thing of him embracing the NFL postseason.
I guess. It's just was odd.
They're running around wearing jerseys. They're celebrating at Grand Central Stage. They're doing a lot of different things. But I agree with you. The last guy, who cares about Cody Parkey?
Right. Yeah, not that big of a deal.
He's going to be on the NBC Today Show. And if you're Matt Nagy, you're absolutely correct. I mean, they gave him a four-year, $9 million contract in the offseason. The general manager basically said, we need to relook at things. We know it's an important position. Pressure kicks are pressure kicks, and he missed a key one for the Chicago Bears where they get eliminated.
Yeah, you would think it. I'm sorry.
You can't be hopping on. You got to realize that I don't care if the Today Show calls you.
Right.
It's not about you. No.
You got to hide.
Right. Duck the head.
You got to hide, buddy.
Right. Imagine you flipped on the Today Show this morning. There's Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, this is why I missed a catch, and this is what I learned from missed a catch. No,
right,
no. You don't do that.
Yeah, you go on vacation. Go on some island.
Yeah.
No, do something. I know. Hawaii.
You're right. You are correct. You are correct, sir. You are correct. By the way, the Twitter's blowing up. Let's talk about the white elephant for a second in the room. I just want to say.
It's about time.
The Twitter's blowing up. Okay, there was comments made, not by me earlier, about the We Over Nation, and I want to say they're showing up. That's all
nice.
I'm going to say.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
How many?
Nice.
Four?
Kingsman's got it going.
No, not four. Not four. Take a look at your feed.
I'm keeping track.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
It's four.
Okay.
It's not four. Name them.
Arturo Diaz.
Right.
We Over.
Right.
Tamia, We Over.
Right. These are new names.
These are the new ones. Jared Byrne, We Over.
Right.
And Cassandra Kelly, We Over.
Michael Wade. WAID. I see his name here. Ding.
I have to defend people that are fans of this program.
A couple of you guys
are so sensitive.
Yeah, no, it's because this is the backbone. This is the fan base.
No one's down it. We're joking around.
What's the name?
Too sensitive.
Dollars.
Okay. There you go.
So we're up to six. We Over Nation.
Just saying.
You guys are very sensitive.
Who? The We Over people?
Yeah, lighten up.
They're trying to show support.
It was a joke.
Yeah, well, the jokes sometimes cut like a knife, Moose. That's the expression.
No, it was a joke. We all laughed.
Yeah. No, you laughed.
Stop taking yourself so seriously.
Yeah, well.
Honestly.
We Over, I appreciate it. On behalf of the Taz and the Moose show, I appreciate you.
Yeah, I certainly do.
I appreciate you. Maybe the producer. Maybe the update guy.
No, we all
don't,
appreciate
but I do.
All seven of you.
Yeah. No. No. And where's your nation? How many is it?
It's a joke.
What do we call a group of
where's
moose?
AB, where's your nation?
I don't have one. I've never said.
Mikey B, Pete, where's
all
your
I need is my cat and wife, and
right.
I'm happy.
That's all that matters, right?
No. Okay. We Over County. That's
and
yeah,
then Pete's
that's,
in a good
that's
mood.
Gonna,
for three
that,
hours.
All the jocularity. Yeah, that's all nice. Where is it?
Where's my cat?
Not to take attention.
I think I went to the doctor.
Taking a nap.
Well, he's all healthy. Gained a little weight.
But nice. Right. The vet console went well.
Yeah, we have to brush his teeth now once every 2 weeks. But
really?
Other than
how do you do that with a cat?
There's a cat toothbrush and you put
really?
It on the tooth. Yeah, it's the toothpaste is turkey flavored, so they like it.
That's
I thought
awesome.
That was amazing.
That is tremendous.
As Taz eats.
Yeah. I love yogurt.
There you go.
Turkey flavor.
Yeah. Take it away.
Greek. Where were we? Oh, yes. James Harden still red hot. A season-high 57 points to lead the Rockets past the Grizzlies last night. 112-94. That's 17 straight with 30-plus points. The longest streak since Wilt went 20 straight in 1964. Among those overshadowed by Harden is Anthony Davis.
Holiday around the high middle screen, pick and pop. Davis, open three, angle right. Bang, got it. Oh, man. Anthony Davis, with his second three-pointer, he has 38 points.
That's Sean Kelly on Pelicans Radio. Davis finished with 46 plus 16 boards as New Orleans escaped Staples Center 121-117. The Clippers took a one-point lead in the fourth after trailing by 20 in the third. Top-ranked Duke taken down at home 95-91 in OT. They never had Cam Reddish because of flu-like symptoms. Then point guard Trey Jones injured his shoulder in the opening minutes. Coach K says Jones is out indefinitely.
Somebody just tweeted out a picture of Ronald McDonald answering the phone at McDonald's saying, "You want how many burgers to the White House?"
Sure. Number 7, Kansas snuck past Texas 80-78, and Pitt took down number 11, Florida State 75-62. Novak Djokovic, Serena, and Venus Williams.
How many people, Mike, do you want to tweet the show? Like, how many do you want? Like 6,000? How many do you want? Instead of 4, 5, 6, your little comment, this snarky statement. How many would you like? Tell me. 100,000? How many?
A large group of people.
You want a large group of people tweeting we over? A large group. Okay. Because you were keeping count. So I'm asking you for a reason.
I'm just defining what dictionary.com has as nation.
So nation, really? What is nation? A large group of people?
Yeah.
Is that the honest truth? That's what.
Yeah, a large group of people.
Well, that's kind of a vague statement, right? What's a large group? What would you say, Moose, a large group of people? How many numbers? All kidding aside, what would you say a large group is? 10, 20, 15? How many? I don't know.
No, I would say
a large 100 people? A nation?
Like 100,000, 200,000.
So we need 100,000 people tweeting hashtag we over, and then it'll be that. Well, Taz's carryover audience is strong enough. Otherwise, then Taz's carryover audience is 10 people. Is that what we got here, Moose? Mike, is that what we got? I'm just curious.
No.
100,000? 200,000? What do we need?
I think what we've learned here is the sensitivity levels at a 100,000.
No. It's not that. There's other reasons. Other.
What other reasons?
There's others.
What? Explain.
No, I don't want to explain.
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know you know, AB.
What is he talking about?
AB knows. He'll tell you later.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay.
It's not for public consumption.
All right, let's finish the update.
Let's do that. It's a good idea.
I'm good. You guys
all right, thank you very much. Paul, we'll get into the pigskin pileup. We will do that next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, 206 Sirius and XM app as well. Download that podcast each and every day. Apple Podcast Radio.com. We certainly appreciate the support and mention it going to break, Taz. Let's get to a little pigskin pileup.
Yeah.
It's now time for the pigskin pileup. Taz and Moose circle the wagons around the NFL.
Head out to San Francisco next. How about legendary Hall of Fame wide receiver Jerry Rice saying that Antonio Brown wants to be a 49er? Well, I mean, he made that perfectly clear on social media, or that he just wants to be away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But maybe the apple of the eye wants to be the 49ers. You couple that with the statements from what Art Rooney the second a couple weeks ago, where he does not envision Antonio Brown being part of the Steelers in 2019. It looks like all sides are pointed to AB being traded at some point this offseason, and maybe it ends up being in San Francisco, Taz.
Seems like where he's wanted to go. I mean, tweeting back and forth with the tight end Kittle over there. He actually, AB, Antonio Brown, he changed his Twitter bio used to mention All-Pro wide receiver of Pittsburgh Steelers. It just says All-Pro wide receiver, hashtag AB84. No more mention of the Pittsburgh Steelers, for those that don't know, in Antonio Brown's Twitter bio, which some would think that if you're not involved with social media, you'd be like, who cares, Twitter Schmitter. But it's actually, it is a big deal in this day and age. I mean, because that's people, what they represent, their representation, their Twitter bio. I mean, it's not the end all be all, but if he had that, it said Pittsburgh Steelers, and now he took it off and he edited it, and he unfollowed the Steelers, it's kind of a big time, multiple red flags, along with what Jerry Rice said. So, we've talked about this. Antonio Brown will not be a Steeler next year. No way.
It looks like that. All signs are pointing that way. It's a very emotional situation. We're at the early stages of it. We're a little bit of ways away until the start of the NFL offseason, Taz, and the start of the new NFL calendar year. So. Maybe cooler heads prevail. Talent is talent, but right now all signs point to Brown getting dealt, and they should be able to get something back in return. Yeah. Some have speculated maybe a first. Some have speculated maybe multiple picks, with the high point being a second round selection and another pick for Antonio Brown. He is 30 years of age. He could help your team in a lot of different ways. The concern you'd have is if he wasn't a happy camper in Pittsburgh. What would lead you to believe if all of a sudden, another receiver or player on offense gets more accolades than he does? Is he going to pull the same temper tantrum and sensitivity that he showed in Pittsburgh?
Right. Well, it could be a place that he could end up, and it would be what a show would be. If he went to the Jets got the number 3 overall pick, and they could deal out that pick. I'm just saying, and they got the cap space, they got the money. But could you imagine that? I wouldn't want that as a Jet fan. I mean, as great as Antonio Brown is, because I just think that could be a problem with Sam Darnold, the young quarterback who's still trying to hone his craft. You got Crazy Gay's eyes in there. You got him there. It'd be a tremendous for the guys next door at WFAN. But you know what I mean. But
it'd be something else. I wouldn't want Antonio Brown. I'd want Le'Veon Bell more so than Brown.
Me too. Yeah.
But
yeah.
They've got a lot of money to spend this offseason. It'll be interesting to see. But maybe Rice ends up being a little bit of a fortune teller, and he does end up in San Francisco with the 49ers. Let's head up to Chicago next, Taz. We talked a little bit about it during a Bogus's update at the bottom of the hour, and that is that Matt Nagy was upset with Cody Parkey. I think his days in Chicago are over.
I think you're right.
I don't think it has anything to do with just the misses or the big miss against the Eagles in their wild card matchup. I think they probably would have sucked that up and moved on. I do think him hopping on the Today Show and being as in your face as he has been after that miss, I think it's bothered a lot of people in that Bears organization, and rightfully so. Matt Nagy has every right to be upset about Cody Parkey going on NBC and going on the Today Show and talking about his miss against the Philadelphia
Eagles. Wasn't he on Good Morning America last week?
You might be right.
That's the ABC show. I think he was.
You might be right about that.
So even if Moose, let's say hypothetically he made the kick and they won the game and the Bears moved on in a positive way, even this would be a bad look because it makes it about him. He's a kicker who's not in there grinding like everybody else. He's a kicker. I mean, I know how viable these kickers are, don't get me wrong, but even if it was the other way around and they won the game, it'd be a bad look to his teammates and to his coach and to the fan base of the Bears. They lost the game. I'm not blaming Parkey. I mean, obviously his kick was the... But still, you can't do this. Some might think, he's building a brand. He's living his 15 minutes of ultra fame. Yeah, that 15 minutes of fame is going to hurt him because it's coming off of something negative where he missed a kick. And now it looks like he's got an ego and an agenda to try and be a star. What team's going to want this guy? I wouldn't want him.
No, and I also, I'd want him if he was going to make the kicks.
Right, but he missed. Right, I know. But
I could deal with all that, Taz, if he was hitting everything.
If he was making a kick,
If he made the kick, he wants to go on Good Morning America, the Today Show, Taz, and it makes the pressurized kick, I could deal with it. He's missing kicks and hopping on there and making about himself. I don't want to deal with it. I agree with you. I mean, I think his days in Chicago are over, he's making it about, as Nagy said, making it about himself and not we. Nagy said, we win as a team, we lose as a team. It's not about I. And Cody Parkey's making it about himself. Mentioned it in our interview earlier in the hour with Billy Devaney. current Atlanta GM, and the AAF former Rams general manager. Going to be a cold one for the AFC Championship game. A quote-unquote Arctic blast is headed toward Kansas City for Sunday night, where temperatures could be a high of 10 and could actually, there's a potential where game time temperature could be below zero.
Well, I mean, I got to say, I think it's favor towards the Pats with this, just because I think Brady, you know, being a veteran quarterback, is very used to playing in the cold for years. Sony Michel at running back is just legit for the Pats. I think that helps. You got, and that offensive line's playing really well. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll
Pats only a favors, but I would agree with you.
Yeah,
I think it would. Yeah. I think it would help New England.
I really
cause.
Do. I think it would.
If you have those kind of conditions, because of the experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's like, only going to be the second playoff start ever for Patrick Mahomes. I think this is Tom Brady's made 38. Postseason starts,
and they're
38,
and they're all in Foxborough in the freezing cold. But no, I'm slightly exaggerating, but you get my drift. I just think that, you know, Pat Mahomes. I mean, he's great as he, and he is great. I mean, we're not doing a prediction right now, but he is great. You know what I mean? And this game's going to be awesome. But I think the cold weather does help the visiting team a little bit. I do.
And we got a 1v1 coming up next hour.
Oh, yeah.
Brady and Mahomes, the AFC Championship game quarterbacks. And a lot of factors come into that. Make sure you're paying attention next hour coming your way at 8:20 a.m. Eastern time. All right. Speaking of the Pats, I still have yet to find anybody on radio or a columnist across the country that said the Patriots suck.
Yeah, well, I think that's Brady and Belichick trying to find that inner motivation, but I get your drift.
Nobody said they suck.
Well, I can't remember who the guest was we had last week who said on our show, said, well, it's a different Patriots team.
Well, they are. They might not be as good as years gone by.
So to Tom Brady, that is Matt Chatham who said it. Thanks, Mike. So Matt Chatham said that. So to Brady, that means, okay, people are saying we suck.
Yeah, I get everyone's looking for motivation. Does Tom Brady need extra motivation now?
No,
can understand if someone actually said it. But, Taz, we all watched the Pats this year. They weren't as good as years gone by.
I know. They are now, though.
And then they put on an absolute show. But does one game now all of a sudden make, oh, this is the same Patriot team as years gone by? No, they're not as good. Gronk's not as good. You know, Brady completed 34 passes, 24. 15 went to his running back for 97 yards, and James White. It's not the same, effective nonetheless. And the Los Angeles Chargers folded to 10ths like the Chargers usually do.
You know, this is with teams. They look for that inner motivation, and that's what happened here.
Trust me,
I get it. It's awesome. Motivation.
Yes.
Everyone. That motivates me right there. See that? That's a thing of beauty. That's what we don't have. You see that?
Yes.
Look at that. That's beautiful.
Well, nobody doubted. Yeah. It was a joke.
I know.
It was a joke.
Hello.
It was a joke.
The We Over Nation flag is a thing of beauty. I haven't seen it in ages. I don't even know who has it.
It's cashmere.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing, Taz. Yeah. It was a joke.
You guys don't understand.
I understand. Oh. No, I don't think sarcasm and we over go hand in hand.
No, that's not true.
That's true.
No, that's not true.
Well, that is true.
You know me. I can be very sarcastic.
I'm not talking about you specifically.
Well, some would deem me the leader of this wheel, but I'm not the leader. I'm just one of them.
Listen, I don't know how many times we have to say.
I know.
It was a joke.
I know. It's just a cup.
That puts an end to the.
Especially for you.
How does it cut?
Well, how nice is that? Look at that.
It's a nice banner.
It's not a banner. It's a flag.
That's a nice flag.
That's an 11-foot by something banner.
I just said.
Damn it, I made a mistake. Flag. My bad. You made me mix my words up.
No, I did
nice
not
banner.
Make it. It's a nice banner. Signage.
It's not a banner.
Well
it's
done.
A mug.
There you go.
Very you guys nice. Are very funny. And funny radio guys.
Listen, Chef Mike, stop tweeting. Please. You're embarrassing yourself. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.